Hello, welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavit Aghbayi. On the U.S.-led war on Syria, a Senate panel has backed President Barack Obama's request for military action. Meanwhile, the Pentagon is prepared to employ greater firepower. Why has there been such an accelerating tempo when initially this illegal war was sold as a limited military incursion? Iran's leader, meanwhile, has said any U.S. attack will backfire on the U.S. and that the U.S. seeks to use the issue of chemical weapons as an excuse, and ultimately it will pay the price for that. How that will happen, including new revelations about the use of chemical weapons by insurgents, just a couple issues to be discussed in this edition of The Debate.
وارده بر خودشون رو در این زمینه خواهند احساس کرد و قطعاً در این مورد ضرر خواهند کرد در این تردیدی وجود نداره.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, warning of the consequences of a possible US attack on Syria. Ayatollah Khamenei said the US seeks to launch a military strike on Syria under the pretext of a chemical attack. The leader dismissed Washington's claims that it's going to attack Syria on humanitarian grounds. Ayatollah Khamenei said America cannot sell the idea to people around the world.
مسئله انسانیت چیزی نیست که کسی در دنیا باور بکنه که آمریکایی‌ها دنبال این هستن. حالا لفظی میکنن، زبان بازی میکنن، این رو میگن برای اینکه بتوانن توجیه کنن حرکت خودشون رو.
The leader made a reference to the human rights violations at the U.S.-run Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib prisons and Washington's silence on the former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein's chemical attacks against Iranians and even his own people in the 1980s. But the drums of war are growing louder these days. So is the opposition to a military strike on Syria. Russia has not taken a step back in the face of U.S. pressures to back up its case against the U.S. attack. Moscow cited a chemical attack in Syria, which it blames on the insurgents there. Russia says an investigation shows weapons used in the attack in northern Syria earlier this year were homemade and not built by the Syrian army. Earlier, Russian President Vladimir Putin accused U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry of lying about Syria.
A congressman asks Mr. Kerry, is there Al-Qaeda? People say they have gotten stronger. He says, no, I say officially they aren't there. The main combat unit, the so-called al-Nusra, is a unit of al-Qaeda. They know about this. It wasn't pleasant for me to see this. Well, we communicate with them and assume that they are decent people. He lies openly. He knows that he lies. This is sad.
China, another veto-holding power of the UN Security Council, has also reiterated that the crisis in Syria has no military solution. Meanwhile, the Lebanese resistance movement, Hezbollah, has also slammed U.S. preparations for a military strike on Syria as organized terrorism.
U.S.-led military action against Syria, or even the threat itself, is an instance of an organized and direct terrorism. It is considered as a threat both to regional and international peace and security.
All warnings against war have so far fallen on deaf ears in Washington. A U.S. Senate panel has already passed a resolution to support an attack on Syria. Now the Congress has to approve it. The Obama administration insists that the August 21st chemical attack near Damascus was carried out by government forces, but it has failed to show any evidence to the world to prove the claim. That's a deja vu of the 2003 war on Iraq, which turned out to be an intelligence fiasco for Washington.
Well, let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. We have from Berkeley, Lee Kaplan. He's an investigative journalist who joins us. And joining us in the studio is Press TV's Hamid Reza Emadi. Gentlemen, welcome. Hamid Reza Emadi, let me start with you. This illegal war without a UN mandate got a nod of approval. It was slight, 10-7 vote from the Senate panel yesterday. But it was there was a difference in the way this was sold. Initially sold as a limited incursion, but now Pentagon has prepared to employ greater firepower over a 90-day timeline. What's your reaction to that? I mean, what actually happened?
Well, it can't be a limited a strike and a surgical operation, as they call it. It is a 90-day bombing of a country, killing civilians, men and women, children, just like what happened in Iraq, what happened in Afghanistan. What the difference being the ground troops are not going into Syria. That means that they're going to be even more killings because it's all bombings of a country, an ancient civilization with a history of peaceful coexistence among its people. Now the West has managed to pit Syrians against Syrians and even has helped Takfiri terrorists to go into Syria and kill innocent civilians over there. And now that the West sees that the Syrian government, the Syrian military has managed to gain the upper hand on the battle ground, now they are trying to help the terrorists by invading Syria, by trying to weaken the Syrian military and paving the way for the Takfiris to take control of the country. So it's not going to be a limited operation. It's not going to be a surgical operation. That's a big lie by the Americans. And as soon as they fire the first Tomahawk missile, the whole region will be on fire, as Iran, as Russia and Hezbollah today have warned the Americans. It is very much interesting to see how Israel and Saudi Arabia's Prince Bandar Ben George Bush, as they call him, have managed to drag America into this war.
Lee Kaplan, I lost the number of ways that our guest Hamid Reza Ahmadi pointed of how this war is wrong, not to mention the fact that this has been upped in the tempo, revised in terms of the use of Air Force bombers by the U.S., initially against Seoul, to be limited in strike. You're having a St. Petersburg G20 summit of which most countries in attendance are saying there's got to be a political solution against this military intervention. Why is the U.S. insisting on going ahead, if they do, actually, with this war?
Well, what you've got is a situation where the conflict between Iran and the United States over nuclear weapons, and this is only one facet of that, is heating up. And the fact of the matter is, Hezbollah is a major equation in this. Hezbollah, of course, is Iran's proxy in the region. You know, the Hezbollah for years have been boasting that they have 12,000 missile warheads with chemical weapons in them. And this is the first time that the Syrians, who are the Iranian proxies, and the Hezbollah, who are the Iranian proxies, have actually used chemical weapons, and they were used against their own people.
There now, is no evidence that Syria has said, used chemical weapons against its own people. There is no evidence for that.
Well, you're interrupting me, but there is ample evidence. French intelligence, German intelligence, United States intelligence, professional intelligence, not propaganda over the internet or on press TV.
Yeah, the same intelligence that said Saddam Hussein had chemical weapons. That's the same intelligence that said Saddam Hussein had chemical weapons. And when they went there, they killed Iraqi women and children. They realized that Saddam Hussein did not have chemical weapons. So we're talking about the same intelligence, professional intelligence, as you call them.
Saddam Hussein, nevertheless, invaded Kuwait, and he was also fighting a war with your country, as I remember, and he had the biggest army in the Middle East. He was paying for terrorism against Israel. You know, the war that's going on between the United States and Iran is a war against state-sponsored terrorism. And the fact of the matter is, Iran is the biggest sponsor of state-sponsored terrorism in the world. Now, this is true. This is the Syrians we're talking about, but it's also Hezbollah, which is the Syrian proxy and the Iranian proxy. And now they've used poison gas. They've reintroduced this. They're trying to create
there
the story
no
that it's a false flag by the United States.
There is no evidence that Syria has used poison gas against its own people.
There is ample evidence by reputable sources, including Reuters, including the press, including the national intelligence agencies, not just the United States, but the French and the Germans. The Germans also today came out and said that a Hezbollah leader has come out and admitted that Syria used the poison gas weapons against their own people.
Are we talking about
so
the same
you
Germany
can spin it any way you
supplies,
like.
We supplied Saddam Hussein with chemical weapons to be used against the Iranians and against the Kurdish population of Iraq, the same Germany?
What you're trying to divert from the facts here, and the simple fact is
what kind of facts we're talking about? There is no evidence to support your claims.
There has been ample evidence. The only evidence I've seen where they keep accusing the Free Syrian Army of having the weapons and being the ones who use them are in fact on the internet, and they're usually from controlled press like Press TV and Middle Eastern press agencies, which don't always tell the truth. And the fact is the United States has given the Iranians much more rope that they could hang themselves with than they should have. And you're going to insist that it's a false flag, but the fact is it's not a false flag. If Iran would get on the track of making peace with the West and stop making threats and stop building intercontinental ballistic missiles and developing atomic weapons, and those poison gases in Syria were more than likely manufactured in Iran, then the world might have some peace. But instead, you play the victim, you try to claim there are false flag attacks, so, and you persist in basically getting your own
the
people
US
killed
have
as well as
nuclear
American
weapons.
Troops.
Why did the U.S., what did the United States use the
I'll tell you why the United States has nuclear.
It used uranium in Iraq and Afghanistan. It used chemical weapons in Vietnam. Agent Orange, you know it better than I do. And it even supported Saddam Hussein's
Agent,
use of chemical
Agent,
attacks against the Iranians, chemical weapons against the Iranians. So
again, you're trying to divert by pointing out small things which aren't related.
Is it a small
Agent
thing
Orange
that America
used
atomic weapons to kill hundreds of thousands of Japanese? Is that a small thing? Is that because they're Japanese, it's small? Is that a small thing that the United States used depleted uranium in Iraq and Afghanistan to kill
would
children?
You, sir?
Is that a small thing that the United
sir,
States used
would you have preferred,
chemical
would
weapons
you have,
against the people of Vietnam?
Would you have preferred that 1 million American soldiers and 1 million Japanese civilians die in an invasion of Japan back then? Because the Japanese were not going to surrender. And the fact is, casualties were estimated to be 1 million American soldiers who had just finished fighting in Europe, by the way.
So you're justifying the use of atomic weapons by the United States?
In World War II, in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, yes, at the end of the war, because it ended World War II.
So what are the guarantees that the United States...
Don't try to pin something on that.
...does not use atomic weapons again? The U.S. is the greatest threat to the mankind because it has a large stockpile of atomic weapons. What's the guarantee that the U.S. doesn't use them again?
Because the United States has never threatened to use atomic weapons on anybody other than if it became necessary due to
it
a
used
first
atomic
strike capability
doesn't
from
need
the
to
enemy.
Threaten anybody.
Your country,
it used it.
Your leadership, you keep talking over me. Your leadership, Ahmadinejad, for example, when he was in power, your leadership has openly stated that they would wipe Israel off the map. They have openly stated that they are going to conquer the world for Islam. They have openly manufactured ICBMs. What do they need them for?
What's that
they
got
are
to
openly
do with,
working
what's
on
that
atomic
got to do with
weapons.
Nuclear weapons.
Why do you need, why, you have oil, you have all the energy you need. Why do you have to develop atomic
well,
weapons?
Let me tell you something,
sorry,
with all due respect, man, it's
you're
not of your
democracy.
Business. We want nuclear energy. It's not of anybody's business. Iran is an ancient civilization.
I'm sorry, I'm a citizen of
Iran
I'm
is
a citizen
is a,
of the world. It
is a sovereign
it is
state,
my, it
and it wants
business.
To have nuclear energy. And the United States has nuclear weapons. There's a huge difference. And the United States has used nuclear weapons. The United States has used chemical
you and
weapons.
I both,
and the United
and
States
I,
has supported
you I,
Israel
you,
when
you
Israel
and I,
used
you
phosphorus
and I both
bombs
know, sir.
Against the people of Palestine. Women and children you, were killed. And the United States just looked the other way. The U.S. Congress that is now on a humanitarian mission to help
most of the time most of,
Syrians they just look the other
this
way
is the, this is the pot trying to call the kettle black. Look, the fact is Iran, as you well know, is a despotic regime. It's not a democracy. And the fact is that you're developing nuclear weapons to threaten the rest of the world. You don't need them for energy. You have plenty of energy with oil. And the fact is the United States and the Western powers don't want you to have atomic weapons because you will threaten the world with them.
Well,
and,
just,
you know,
it's a fantasy.
You persecute your own people. You persecute homosexuals in your country.
Ah, come on.
You engage,
homosexual.
You engage
what?
In you engage with
what is it, man?
You've executed homosexuals
with,
in the public square
well, just, yeah,
in
you
Iran.
Yeah, you just talk about nuclear weapons and homosexuals. What's that got to do with homosexuals? No, it's not the
because
case.
Because we're
the,
talking about
the US
human rights
like
and we're talking
Iran doesn't listen to the
we're
US.
Talking about,
the US doesn't
we're
like
talking,
it. That's the whole thing.
No. You're talking about human rights, and then you turn around and you don't practice human rights. You practice
does America practice human
terrorism.
Rights? Is Guantanamo,
you blew up the Jewish community center in Argentina?
Practice of human rights. Is the U.S. practicing human rights? What happened in Guantanamo?
You keep complaining about Guantanamo. The fact is, prisoners in Guantanamo are not tortured.
Well,
they're not mistreated.
In fact, they're treated very well. America killing hundreds of thousands of women and children in Iraq and Afghanistan. Are you talking about human rights? Can America talk about human rights? Are you going to interrupt me every time I try to talk?
No, gentlemen, let me jump in here, and I'd like to address this to you, Lee Kaplan. If you want to talk about human rights, between the year 2004 and 2012, there has been over 540 deaths by tasers by policemen. Doesn't that constitute violation of human rights in the United States?
You're talking about shootings by policemen?
Tasers. Taser deaths, which are...
Let me ask you something. I don't know, I can't check your figures right here, but I can tell you this. You're talking about a country of 300 million people, and there are criminals who sometimes rob banks and they shoot people, and the police end up getting killed also. It's an absurd comparison. You're talking about local police actions and trying to say that the United States violates human rights.
Let me tell you something.
Iran hangs, which is supposed to be Syria. What we should do right now is take a quick time out.
I'm sorry. Hold your thoughts, though. Let's take a quick time out, Lee Kaplan and Hamid Reza Ahmadi, to take a listen to some of the viewer comments on this topic as posted on our Facebook page.
Limited strikes? That's ridiculous. Little things cause big problems. In a war, it doesn't matter how big or small the attacks are, they are still considered a threat. Syria is a black hole. If the U.S. decides to attack, it's going to get drawn in. America is lying about the use of chemical weapons to overthrow Assad and install its own stooge in Syria. U.S. is not fighting against Islam. It's fighting against terrorism and the use of chemical weapons.
Those are just some of the viewer comments that we just heard here. Hamid Azamadi, I'd like to ask you this. When we're looking at this G20 summit in St. Petersburg, you're looking at a bunch of European leaders, and especially
May I comment on those remarks you just had?
I'm going to come to you
may
with
I
a comment.
Comment on
I'm going to come to
you
with
just,
a reaction on that. I'd like to get this question to Hamid Azamadi.
All right.
We're looking at the corner that the United States, Hamid Azamadi, is in right now. The company that they're keeping is what? The OIC, the Arab League, Britain back down, France, and, of course, Saudi Arabia, even NATO. Didn't come in terms of approving this military strike on Syria. So when you want to put those elements together with the U.S., of course, we've got to put Israel in there. Doesn't this hurt the U.S. credibility in terms of its world standing?
Yeah, sure it does, because the U.S. does not have those allies. It always bragged about the United Kingdom is not going to join any U.S. military operation in Syria. Even in France, let me tell you something about France. A very shaky position taken by France. They were the first country to accept the opposition as the representative of the Syrian people. And this ambassador of the opposition went to Paris and dined with the president of France. I talked to François Gérin. He's a top military analyst in France, and this person advises President Hollande on Syria and other Middle Eastern issues. He told me last week that President Hollande didn't know much about what was really going on in Syria. And he was of a totally different opinion before he consulted these people, a panel of experts, including Mr. Gérin. And he decided to a little bit water down the rhetoric and try to tone it down in such a way that first they went for this all-out support for the opposition and the militants on the ground in Syria. And then after that, they talked about a UN investigation. So it looks like in France in particular, they really don't know much about the situation on the ground in Syria. And a lot of French people, all the opinion polls say that people are against France's military involvement in Syria. I asked Mr. Gérin why this thing is happening. Why is it that the people of France are against the war? He said there were three wars that the people were asked about. The war in Afghanistan, the people of France where 50-50, sort of some people supported the war in Afghanistan, some people opposed it. When it came to the war on Mali, a lot of French people, they supported the war on Mali. But when it comes to Syria, Mr. Jaurès says that no one in France, the public opinion, is pretty much against a war on Syria with French involvement. So it shows that even the French government doesn't have the public backing, and it won't really, at the end of the day, help the U.S., won't be an ally for the United States. And you see what happened to the U.K.? It seems like the U.S. was isolated this time around, and it was really, it turned out to be really bad for the U.S. image in the West and in the Arab countries. I'm 100% sure that the public opinion is very much against the war. Yes, there are these Arab stooge countries like Saudi Arabia, like Qatar, like Bahrain. These countries like Jordan, they would support a war because they have no other option. They just listen to their masters in Western capitals and in Washington in particular. So they
will do what, the whole half hour?
They will do what the Americans tell them to do. But on the streets, on the Arab streets, you won't see any support for any kind of military action in Syria.
Lee Kaplan, go ahead.
This is what I mean by a controlled press with Press TV. He'll speak for half an hour and you'll give me 2 minutes. The fact is the French have officially come out in support of the United States. That's NATO. The Germans have officially come out in support of the United States. I don't care that he had lunch with a French official who supposedly told him something to the contrary. The British, the Prime Minister wanted to cooperate with the United States. There were members of the Parliament there who didn't want to go to war. Well, it's a natural reaction. In the United States, there are people who are against war. They're weary of war. But the fact of the matter is, this is something that the Iranians are building. If you go back to World War II, history repeats itself. Hitler marched into the Rhineland, and Neville Chamberlain came back and said, "There is peace in our time." Today, he's reviled as a coward, and Winston Churchill is the hero, because what happened happened. The Iranians, the Syrians, the poison gas, all this stuff. Now they've introduced, they've upped the ante with poison gas. This is Iran's controlled government, and what they want to do is they want to try and get away with using poison gas. If they can get away with it this time, they'll do it again. There are 12,000 missiles being run by Hezbollah. Your Iranian proxy, which can be fired on Israel, can be fired on Turkey, they can be fired on other countries.
Very well.
The West isn't going to stand for
it. Let me give time to Hamid Rezaei-Ahmadi for a closing statement.
Wait, let me add something else.
Is the U.S. lying going into this war?
Yeah, of course it is. Even Vladimir Putin said that John Kerry is lying when he says there is no Al-Qaeda militants fighting in Syria. The U.S. is lying, just like the U.S. was lying when it entered the war on Iraq. And it's clear, you know, the U.S. wants to wage this war because the U.S. has been held hostage by Israel for decades now. And it was not even held hostage by Israel.
It's the Jews again.
The U.S. has been raped by Israel, technically speaking, because it even can drag the U.S. into a war that everyone knows the consequences of this war. It will turn the region into a fireball.
The last resort, we're going to have to blame the Jews.
Thank you very much for that. Lee Kaplan, we'll make sure to invite you back for another program, but thank you very much. Lee Kaplan, investigative journalist, talking to us from Berkeley. I'd like to thank Hamid Rezaei-Ahmadi here in the studios with his comments. Thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Questions, comments, suggestions, newsroom at presstv.ir is our email address. From Mikhail Tafma and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.